Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Our passage this morning is going to be the first 18 verses. We're continuing, of course, to see the book of Acts, the spread of the message of Jesus Christ. Peter has just been used by God to go and take the message to the Gentiles, to a man by the name of Cornelius, and we'll talk more about that as we go through it. So we're seeing the spread of the gospel message. Let me remind you of this. If you remember, the book of Acts breaks around Acts 1:8. He says, "And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world." Acts chapters 1 through 7 deal with the spread of the message in Jerusalem. Acts chapters 8 through 12 through Judea and Samaria. And then beginning in chapters 13 all the way through 28, it's going through the rest of the world. Now what we've seen already, as the slide shows, the next one shows, we've seen the message begin in Jerusalem with Peter, then it went north to Samaria with Philip and Peter, then it's gone south to Gaza. And then we've seen, the next slide would show us that we've seen in Acts chapter 9 the conversion of Saul. That's the man that we know as Paul, and he's going to be the one to take the message to the rest of the world. In Acts chapter 10, which we saw last time, the message went to the Gentiles, went to a man by the name of Cornelius. And so what we've seen, I think the next slide shows that what we've seen is the spread of the message from the Jews to the Jews, and half Jew, half Gentile, Jews, Samaritans, and then on to the Gentiles. And Peter, and the last passage in Acts chapter 10, took us several weeks to go through it. We saw an amazing thing. Peter, Jewish man, is instructed by God to take the message to Gentiles. And as you know, Jewish people at that time, they'd say, we don't really hang around Gentiles. We don't go into their homes. But Peter had been given a message from God to take the message, and we saw that. Now, let me remind you some things. As we start chapter 11, Peter's going to come back from spending some time with Gentiles, a man by the name of Cornelius, who he led to Christ. He's going to come back, and when he gets back to the church at Jerusalem, some believers in Jerusalem, Jewish believers, are going to say to him, "What do you think you're doing? You went to the home of a Gentile and you ate with them?" You got to understand, in that culture and day and time, Jewish people looked at Gentiles, they actually called them dogs. They just said, "Listen, we're God's chosen people. We have the law. We have the different foods. We have different things. We're different. They're unclean before us." That's how they looked at them. But God has told Peter that people, men, they're not unclean. The message of Jesus Christ goes to every person. So as we start, we've got some questions that we'll look at in the passage. What was Peter accused of when he comes back? Second, what was his defense? And then third, we're going to look this morning at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because as he describes what happened, he talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And to be honest with you, people are confused about the Holy Spirit and the ministry, and we'll see that as we go through it this morning. So let's start. There has been some confusion about the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he does. When we think about the Trinity, we say there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you think about the Father, you say, God the Father, he so loved the world, he gave his Son. We think about Jesus, we say, God so loved the world that Jesus left the glories of heaven and came to the earth and died on the cross for us and rose again. And then we say Holy Spirit, and we say, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Okay, do we say, is the Holy Spirit a person? Is the Holy Spirit a force? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do before salvation? What does he do at salvation? What does he do after salvation? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What does it mean to be baptized by the Spirit? How does all this fit together? Well, this morning, as Peter describes in Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18, he's going to describe what happened when they went to the Gentiles, and he talks about the ministry of the Spirit, and we're going to spend right at the very end of the message, we're going to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, just briefly, just to give you a kind of a big overview and how all this fits together. There's some great things there. Let's start with what's going on. The message is spreading. Beginning on the day of Pentecost, to the Jewish people, the message of Jesus Christ began, and a number of people trusted Christ. Over 8,000 people have trusted Christ in Jerusalem. It went north to Samaria. It went south to Gaza. Jews, Samaritans, and now even Gentiles, because the word has gone to Cornelius, who was a Roman soldier. Now, let me remind you of what happened. There was a Roman soldier by the name of Cornelius, and he was a really good man, but he was not a believer. He thought that if you come under Judaism and keep the Mosaic law, even though he was a Gentile, he said, "I think the God of Israel is right, so I'm going to try to be a really good man and try to live like a Jew." And so he thought that if you do good things, somehow you could get to God. One day an angel, 3:00 in the afternoon, an angel appeared to him and told him to send to a town for a man named Simon Peter, bring him back, and he will tell you how to be saved. What we realized is this man, even though he was a religious man, wasn't a believer. And we talked about it several weeks ago. There are people all over this community and people that you know that are religious people, and they go to church and they try to live good lives, but they're not Christians because they have never put their faith in Christ. They think trying to be good or do right, do good things will save them. So here's this man named Cornelius, who's a Gentile Roman centurion, who says, I'm trying to get to God. And God says, okay, you're trying to get to me? You send for Peter. He'll tell you how to have eternal life, how to be saved. That's what it says. Now, meanwhile, Peter's at a guy's house. It's time for lunch. Peter says, I'm going to go up on top of the roof and wait for y'all to get the meal fixed. He goes up there and he has a trance, a dream. And in the trance, he sees this big sheet come out of heaven. And it comes down, and he looks down in the sheet, and all these animals are in there that the kind Jewish people don't eat. And he goes, whoa. And God says to him, Peter, get up, kill it, and eat it. And Peter says, oh, no, Lord, I would never eat that, because that's against the law. That's against the Jewish law. You can't eat that. It happened three different times. God said, whatever I call clean, you don't call unclean. Three times, sheet went back up. Peter went, I wonder what that was all about. And all of a sudden, it began to hit him that God wasn't just talking about animals. He was talking about all people, that the message of Jesus Christ was for all people. And at that exact moment, three people sent by Cornelius show up, knock at the door and say, are you Peter? And he says, I'm Peter. He says, you're supposed to come with us. Holy Spirit said to Peter, follow them. I have sent them. And we saw last time that Peter went with these guys. He took six Jewish people with him because he said, look, I'm going to the home of Gentile. I want some witnesses with me. They got to the house. They walked in, and Cornelius fell down in front of him. Peter said, whoa. I'm just a man. Don't worship me. And he brought him into the house, and Peter told them that through Jesus Christ, by faith in him, they would have forgiveness of sins. And the moment he told them that, they believed in Jesus Christ. The whole room full of the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit came just like on the day of Pentecost. And Peter and the Jews said, these people are saved just like us. And that's how we ended last week, because those guys said, would you mind staying at our house with us for a couple of days? If you look at the end of verse 48, at the end of chapter 10, he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they asked him to stay on for a few days. So that's where we ended last time. Now, let me break down the passage for you this morning, and we're going to go quickly. We're going to see in verses 1 through 18, we're going to see when Peter goes back to Jerusalem, he's accused of going to be with Gentiles. And he defends it. He tells about the vision. He tells about the Holy Spirit. He tells everything. He talks about going to the home of Cornelius. He tells how they're saved in the same way, and the Holy Spirit comes. And then that ends the passage. And what we're going to do is, when we get to the end of the passage, I'm going to take just a little bit of time to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit for you today, just so we can grasp it and make sure we put it together. Well, here's what's happened. Peter's been with them just a few days. Now, I want you to understand how different this is for Peter. Peter's Jewish. We said that when he went to Cornelius' house, that was probably the first time in his life he had ever gone into the home of a Gentile. And for many of us, and in fact, probably most of us in this room, we're Gentiles. We're not Jewish. So we say, what's the problem? We think we're okay, right? But for the Jew at that time, they'd say, no, y'all have different food. You think differently. You don't have the true God. We're God's chosen people. We got the law. We have it all. But now Peter realizes, wait a minute. We're all the same. Everybody needs a Savior. Everybody needs Jesus. So he stays with them a few days, and then he decides to go back to Jerusalem. Look what happened, verse 11. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. Word began to spread that the Gentiles had got the message of Jesus Christ, and they were trusting Christ. We would say, that sounds great to us. Now all people are hearing the truth of Jesus Christ. If you notice in Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to all people, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek or the Gentile. So the message is supposed to go to all people, and it did start with the Jews on the day of Pentecost. Well, look what happened. When Peter came to Jerusalem, verse 2, those who were the circumcision took issue with him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men, that's Gentiles, and you ate with them. Now, when he came back to Jerusalem, it says some of those who were of the circumcision. Now, that meant there were Jewish people who were believers that felt like and said that if a person was going to be saved, if you weren't Jewish and you were a Gentile and you wanted to believe in the God of Israel and you wanted to trust in Jesus, you needed to come under the Mosaic law as well. It wasn't just faith in Christ, but you know, if you're going to believe, you better keep the law. And what they said was this, and you notice the slide, they wanted the believers, both Jews and Gentiles, to keep the law, to come under the law. The truth is, that's all they ever known. And he says, you went to these people, and notice what it says in verse 3, you went to the uncircumcised men and you ate with them. Now that's fellowship. See, the real issue here is not just that the Gentiles were saved. It's the fact that we're supposed to fellowship with Gentiles. We're supposed to eat with them. We're supposed to sit down with them and eat with them. We don't do that. We don't do that. And see, what you're going to see is here's the issue. What about in the body of Christ, whether you're Jewish or a Gentile or a Samaritan or whatever, and you come together as believers, but some people say, well, we don't fellowship with them, or we don't fellowship with them. See, this is a big issue. Are all believers going to be able to come together and fellowship together? How could the body of Christ, I think the next slide, how could the body of Christ function if people can't fellowship with each other? I mean, how are we going to eat the donuts if we can't eat the donuts together, right? How are we going to be able to do that? So what's Peter going to say? Because he gets back and they say, hey, you went into the house of a Gentile and you ate with them. What do you think you're doing? You know we don't do that. And Peter's going to say, wait a minute, guys, we got it wrong. God already told me that there's no man unclean. We go to everybody with the message of Jesus Christ. We have to go to everybody. So watch what he does. Watch what he does. Verse 4. But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence. And he said, let me explain this out for you. Verse 5. I was in the city of Joppa praying. And in a trance, I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came down right to me. You know, I told you this already. He was on top of that house. He had this vision. This big sheet came down lowered by the four corners, and he looked inside of it. Look, and when I fixed my gaze on it, I was observing it. I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beast and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. Now, what he's saying is those are the reptiles and the kind of animals that, as a whole, Jewish people didn't eat. If you go back to the Mosaic Law, if you go back to Deuteronomy and Leviticus and those places, you're going to find that there were certain foods Jewish people ate and not ate. It just set them apart as a people group. In fact, while Jesus was on the earth, he actually told people, you can eat all foods. In Mark chapter 7, he said, you can eat all foods. So this is not, it's not new that they could eat any food they wanted to, but they're Jewish and they think you can't eat just any food. Peter looks at that and goes, oh, I can't eat any of that. And I heard a voice saying to me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And I said, no, by no means, Lord. For nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. I can't eat that food because that's not under our law. But a voice from heaven answered me a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And this happened three times and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And Peter begins to realize this isn't about food. This is about people. This is about going to people. And what's so amazing, as soon as that vision was over and he kind of woke back up, all of a sudden three men that Cornelius had sent were at the door of the house that he was staying in. And they're basically asking, does anybody know, does Simon Peter stay in at this house? And people are saying, we think he's in there, yeah. And so look what it says. At that moment, verse 11, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. So there were three men. There were two servants and one of the soldiers. See, Cornelius was a centurion, and I talked about this several weeks ago. Centurions were quality men. They controlled 100 people, and they were the backbone of the Roman army, and they were usually men of character. And so here's this man, and he's got some servants. He's also got soldiers that work for him. He sent his most favorite soldier and two of his servants to find Peter. They're at the door saying to Peter, hey, are you Peter? You're supposed to go with us. what we saw in the look at verse 12, because this is what's amazing. The Spirit told me, this is the Holy Spirit, told me to go with them without misgivings. That means go and just go. Don't worry about it. It's not something to worry about. Notice this. These six brethren, now Peter has come back and he's got six Jewish guys with him. He says, these six brethren also went with me as we entered the man's house. Now he said that six Jewish believers went with me. Why would he take those believers? Because he knows he's going to do something that is contrary to the culture, and he wanted six witnesses, six Jewish guys to go with him so they could see this is all from God. And when they get there and they see what happens, he comes back and says, see, these six guys will tell you this is what happened. He wanted, now listen, he do this. He wanted witnesses because he knew that most Jewish believers would have a problem with him going to the home of a Gentile. Now we talked about this weeks ago, several weeks ago, and how hard it is sometimes to overcome barriers. And we'd say, well, let's go to Iran. Let's go to Iraq. Let's go to Afghanistan. Let's go to Egypt. Let's go to other parts of the world. Let's go to places that we know don't like us. In fact, let's go to places that hate us, and let's take the message. We'd say, well, no, I don't really want to. I'd rather go to some place that likes us. And so Peter's saying, I'm going to people who, number one, we've never liked, and they don't really like us. And God's telling me to take this message to these people. And I'm going to take some friends with me so that when we get back, I can say, they went with me. They saw what happened. Now, look at this. They get to the man's house. We talked about it last week. Look at verse 13. And he, this is Cornelius, reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. I want to remind you that Cornelius had been praying, had been giving away money to the Jewish people. He was a friend of Jews. And when the angel came, the angel said, your prayers have gone up to God. I want you to understand, unbelievers can pray to God and God can hear them. I remember it was been about 8 years ago, a famous pastor in the United States declared that God does not hear the prayers of unbelievers. That's contrary to the scripture. God hears the prayers of all people. Doesn't have to answer them. But he heard Cornelius' prayers and he said, you go get Peter, bring him back here, and notice what it says, verse 14. He will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and your household. See, the key, God wanted this man in his household to be saved. He wanted him to hear the message of salvation. Now, you realize this, that every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, when we go out these doors, we're not just going out to live our lives. We are going out as representatives of Jesus Christ to take the message into this community with people who don't know the salvation message. There are a lot of people, if you ask them and you say, what do you think a person has to do to go to heaven? There are many people who would say things like, well, I think you try to live a good life. You try to keep the Ten Commandments. You try to go to church, be good to people, be religious. Listen, that's not the answer. The answer is faith alone in Christ alone. We need to tell people that Jesus died and rose again, and whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. So in the same way that Peter was called to go take the message of salvation to Cornelius and his family, we are called as believers to leave this place. We gather for worship and training. We scatter for evangelism and service. We are to go into this community with the greatest message of all. And let me tell you, you have a circle of influence. You have a sphere of influence of people you come in contact with every day, and they will listen to you. They will listen to you. So are you clear on the message? You understand it is Jesus who died and rose again and gives eternal life as a gift. I mean, if you only had one verse, I mean, people say, what do I have to know? Boy, I'm so scared. I don't know all the verses. I don't know what to say. You know John 3:16. God so loved the world. Just tell them God loved the world that he sent his son Jesus down on the cross, that whoever, anyone who would believe in him, trust in him, would never perish but have everlasting life. Just one verse, and you can tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, Peter says, you know, I got there and he told us, he told us what happened. He said he would speak the words about how we could be saved. And then, as you know, if you remember, we saw in Acts chapter 10 that Peter taught for just a little bit. And he told them that Jesus was the way, how Jesus had died and risen again. And one of the things we've been seeing as we go through the book of Acts, every time someone gives a message in the book of Acts, the central part of that message is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what we must understand is our good news message deals with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. And whoever believes in him has life. Peter told them that. In fact, at the end, if you look at Acts chapter 10, look at verse 43, if you would, just for a second, look what it says. He's talking about Jesus, and he says, "Of him all prophets bear witness that through his name, through the name of Jesus, everyone who believes in him," notice it's faith, "everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins." Peter told them that whoever believes in Jesus has life, eternal life, forgiveness. And it says in Acts chapter 10, at that exact moment, the Holy Spirit came. Look what Peter says in Acts chapter 11. Look at verse 15. He says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did on us at the beginning." Now, he's talking about day of Pentecost. If you go all the way back, and don't do that, but in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the believers, the 120 believers, as they were gathered together, the Holy Spirit came, putting them in the body of Christ, beginning what we call the church. They spoke in different languages. That happened on that day. Peter says, "When I told the Gentiles about Jesus Christ, the exact same thing happened. The Holy Spirit came down, and they began to speak in other languages," those kind of things. He said, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he did on us in the beginning. Now, when the Holy Spirit falls on them, look, I think I've got this up here. Yeah, on the same day as the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on the Gentiles just as he did on the Jews on the day of Pentecost. Now, on that day, Jews, the believers were placed in the body of Christ. That's in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 10, the Gentile believers were placed in the body of Christ. And I'm going to explain something to you in just a minute. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Spirit places a believer in union with Christ and puts them in the body of Christ. That happens at the moment of salvation. We'll talk about it in just a minute. Look what Peter says when he told these guys about that. He said, "And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say to us, 'John would baptize with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when believers are placed in the body of Christ. This is the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus told them. This is believers, God was placing them in the body of Christ when they believed. It's amazing. He says in verse 17, because he says, "Wow, therefore, if God gave them the same gift as he gave to us after believing," when they believed in Christ, literally in the Greek it says, "as they believe, he gave them the gift." He gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit and eternal life. He says, "as they believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" Peter said, "I went and told them the message. When they heard the truth about Jesus, God put them in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit came down, did just like he did to us. I said, I can't stop this. This is what God wants to do. Even though if you asked me about it, I probably wouldn't want Gentiles in there. Well, now I'm saying this must be from God." And so they're in the body of Christ, just like we're all in the body of Christ. And I want you to know something. The moment you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, without you even understanding it, Holy Spirit placed you in union with Christ in the body of Christ. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. You can look that up sometime. But watch. So he said, "I couldn't stop. If God did this, how could I stand in God's way?" Look how they responded. When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also repentance that leads to life." Repent means to change their mind. The Gentiles changed their mind about what they were believing and trusted in Christ, and that leads to life. It's an amazing thing. They believed and they were saved. Peter says, "God told me to go. He told me to tell them the message about Jesus. When I told them the message about Jesus, immediately they believed. And when they believed, the Holy Spirit came down just like he did on us, placed them in the body, and this is what happened. And those guys who had been arguing and saying, you shouldn't be with the Gentiles, they went, well, okay, gosh, that's fantastic. God be glorified. I guess Gentiles are going to get saved just like we're saved. You understand that? That wherever you are, whatever part of the world you're in, wherever you are, people are all saved the same way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And what? Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And you're saved by faith alone in Christ alone. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. I remember one year with Dale Bob, I went to Mexico, and we were there, and we were trying to talk to him. Like, we couldn't speak Spanish or anything, but we tried to talk to him. And you know what message we were telling him about salvation? The exact same message we tell everybody here about salvation. And wherever part of the world you're in, the message is the same. It never changes. Jesus is the Savior. He died and rose again. Whoever believes in him has eternal life. It is that simple. That's the message. And so basically they said, well, I guess Gentiles are going to get saved just like Jews. The Jews, the Samaritans, the Gentiles, they all trust Christ in the same way. It's just faith alone for Christ alone. Now, I'm going to go very quickly through this last part. I want you to think about the, go to the next slide. Go past that. We're going to talk about the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, this could be a 10-week study, okay? This is going to be about a 2-minute study, okay? I just want you to see this because I want you to understand that when we think about the Trinity, you think about the Father and you say, yo, God the Father, God created the heavens and the earth and he's the Father and he so loved us, he sent the Son. Jesus is the Son of God who came to the earth and became a person and died for us and rose again. But what about the Spirit? You know, where is the Spirit found? If you go to Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the... Now, the Holy Spirit's right there in verse 2 of the beginning of the Bible. Who is this Holy Spirit? We're going to look at the Holy Spirit before salvation, how he brings people to Jesus Christ, at salvation when people trust in Jesus Christ, and after salvation in our daily lives. And I'm going to go very quickly through this. And this, if you want to, I think we've done this study dealing with the ministry of the Holy Spirit before. You can go online. You can call the church office if it's not on the website. But it's a long study. But let me just remind you, what does the Holy Spirit do before a person is saved? Okay, what the Holy Spirit does is found in John 16, 8 through 11. Jesus basically said to John and the apostles, he says, it's a good thing that I go away, because when I go away, the Holy Spirit will come, and he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not believed, righteousness because I go to be with the Father, and judgment because the prince of the age has been judged. The Holy Spirit convicts unbelievers. In fact, he convicts the entire world. That's what John 16 said. He convicts the world of three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Not personal sins, but the sin that they have not believed in Christ. That's what it says. So when you go talk to people about Jesus Christ, your issue is not to say, here's your bad things you're doing, you need to stop the bad things. That's not the sin we're talking about. The sin is they have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. So when you talk to people who do not know Christ as Savior, in fact, I think the next verse shows this, the next slide shows this. In verse 9, he says, sin because they've not believed in Christ, righteousness because to be with the Father you have to be righteous, and judgment because the prince of the world is judged and there's a judgment coming. When the Holy Spirit convicts an unbeliever, he convicts them they have not trusted Christ, they have to be righteous to be with God, and there's a judgment coming. That's what he does. So stay on that issue. Don't talk about Genesis chapter 6 or the creation or Jonah and the flood, Jonah and the whale and the big fish and all that. Don't get on those issues. Stay on the issue when you talk to an unbeliever. Have they trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? That's the Holy Spirit's job. He convicts everyone. But each person still has to believe, okay? And that's what he does. So I think stay on the issue of faith when you talk. That's the ministry of the Spirit before salvation. What does he do? The moment of salvation, look what he does. First of all, he regenerates us. That means he takes us from death to life. We were dead in trespasses and sins. He makes us alive in Christ. That's called being born again. That's regeneration. That's the rebirth. He takes us from being dead, makes us alive. He then baptizes us. Now, let me tell you what that is. That's not water baptism. Baptism is when we're placed in the body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Study it. Look at the passage. A lot of people think baptism of the Holy Spirit means to speak in tongues. It does not. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is when you're placed in the body of Christ. Look at it carefully and study that. The third thing that he does at the moment of salvation is he seals us, which means we're sealed and secure forever. He says he secures us. We're secured by the Holy Spirit. So when you believe in Jesus, you're saved and saved forever. The fourth thing that he does is he comes to live inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, actually lives in every believer. So all of us in this room, if you know Christ is your Savior, not only have you been placed in Christ, but the Holy Spirit has come to live in you. And then the last thing that he does, and it's not in any particular order because it all happens at exactly the same time, he gives you spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11 basically talks about it. So the moment you believed in Christ, think about that. He made you alive. He placed you in Christ. He made you secure. He came to live inside you, and he gave you spiritual gifts. Now, what does he do for you every day? Very quickly, he gives us power. He fills us. That's why he says, walk in the Spirit, you know, be filled with the Spirit, Galatians 5, Ephesians 5. He gives us the power to live as we go through life. Second thing that he does, he teaches us. John 16 says the Holy Spirit will teach us, help us to understand Scripture. He illuminates the Scripture. He gives us revelation and inspiration. And then as we study the Bible, the Holy Spirit brings to our mind and helps us to put it together. The third thing he does, he guides us. And he guides us and directs us through the Word of God. Romans 8 talks about the guiding of the Spirit, it's through the Scripture. And then last but not least, I mean, there's just so many other things that he prays for us. You may not realize this. It says in Romans 8, 26, 27, he says, we don't even know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession. Holy Spirit, what knows what's best. If you said, oh Lord, I want this to happen, the Holy Spirit actually intercedes for you and says, Lord, he doesn't even know what he's asking. Let me tell you what's best. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit actually prays for us when we don't even know what to pray for. That's his ministry. It's powerful. So we see his ministry before salvation, at salvation, after salvation. So in about 3 minutes, we've just done a 10-week study on the Holy Spirit. But anyway, I just wanted you to see that. We have seen Peter defending himself with six guys that he went to the Gentiles because God told him to go. And we've seen how these Gentiles were placed into the body of Christ. And when the word came back, they all went, okay, that's what they've done. Now, next week, don't miss next week, because here's what's going to happen. The message is going to begin to spread. And it's going to go further than the land of Israel. It's going to go over to Cyprus. It's going to go up to another place called Antioch. We'll talk about that. And the message is going to begin to spread all over the world. And we're going to find that guy named Paul the Apostle. He and Barnabas are going to get together and do ministry, and then they're going to begin to take the message. And we're going to watch them go across to Cyprus and then on into what is called Asia Minor, which would be Turkey today. We're going to watch them take the message and see what happens. So in these next weeks to come, it's going to be fantastic. We're going to see what they said, what they did, and what happened. Let me give you some applications quickly. First of all, give clearly the gospel message to all. Listen, there is no distinction. There's no distinction between people. It doesn't matter what race. It doesn't matter what nationality. It doesn't matter where you live. There is no distinction. All people need the message of Jesus Christ. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We need a Savior. Every human being in the world needs a Savior. There is no distinction. Take that message. Be clear on the message. And if you said, I don't feel like I'm real clear, I don't feel like I'm ready, then call me. I'll get with you. I'll get with somebody else with you. We'll make sure you feel very comfortable on sharing your faith, so that when you walk out these doors, you can tell somebody. You can just say, listen, it's just, let's look at John 3:16. Just take them over there and take them through it. You can do it. Second, just have an understanding of the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what he does before salvation, what he does at salvation, what he does daily. Just that whole idea of who he is and what he's done. There's a lot of confusion. If you want to, do your own study. Dig it. Look up the Scripture. Look at every place you can find Spirit, Holy Spirit. See how it ties together. And there's some great things there. May we clearly present the message of Jesus Christ to all people, going in the power of the Holy Spirit, who convicts and saves and empowers.